Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth, Left Bank, 629 Staten Street. And your GPS is going to lie to you. It's going to say, oh, they're closed right now. You shouldn't go. No, they are open.
The doors are open all the way till 1 in the morning.
And you should come on out here and take a load off with us. My name is Alec Medford of the KNC Masterpiece. I've got the three-time Hall of Famer Chris Arnold.
Got you down.
Alongside me and you, the Turn It On, Leave It On listener. We appreciate you being and doing just that. And we've already got Cronuts on hand.
Yes, so we do. We have Cronuts on hand. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate you. We got some Tolos in the house, and we're inviting everybody to come on out to Fort Worth again. You were here for the holiday party, I'm sure. Well, guess what? Come on back again. This time we're off of 7th, West 7th. Everybody knows the party people area. This is where we are. Come on out, represent. And as you said before, if you go on the GPS, they'll say, well, it's not open yet. It opens at 11. No, it's open now all the way till 1 o'clock in the morning. According to the sign out of the front door, it's a special occasion because it's a Tolo takeover.
And just picture this, juicy wings and $4 ice-cold Miller Lights and Coors Light. You are going to have a blast.
Yeah, 877-881-1053. That's the Frankel & Frankel Injuries Attorneys text line. We shout out all the Tolos, let you know we're so grateful and thankful that you let us ride shotgun while you do what you do. A lot of people are off today, but a whole lot of people are not. It's a gig economy. We ride shotgun with you while you get all the stuff done. Some people are trying to get out of the airport. Some people are going there. But let me tell you this right now. It's a special occasion. I don't know if everybody knows this or not, but there's $1 billion at stake tonight. 10 o'clock, the Mega Millions, the Powerball.
I totally forgot about that.
I'm going to tell you this. Somebody's going to win it one of these days. And I don't know if you saw Mark Cuban's advice on what to do if you win.
Mm-mm.
This is a man who's already got several $1 billion, okay? He says this is real simple. First thing you do, first of all, you got to go incognito for a while. You don't need to let anybody know that you won it yet. Don't lose the ticket. This is just what you got to know. First thing you got to do, get your tax attorney. Tax attorney. He says second thing you need to do is not get it all at once. You don't want to blow through it accidentally, even though it's $1 billion before taxes. He said the other thing you need to do is if you're not an investor, don't try to start. The smartest thing you can do is just keep it in the bank. It'll take care of you and your kids and your grandkids if it's just sitting in the bank, if you're not an investor. Also, speaking of family, if somebody in your family asks you for $1 million, you say no. You don't need $1 million. You ain't never asked me for $1 million before. If they ask for $100,000, you say no. And the reason why, you know your family. You know who needs it. You can still take care of them, but if they're asking and begging and pleading, no. Now, this is what Mark Cuban did not say. Hollywood Henderson, who won the lottery twice in the state of Texas. I don't know if y'all heard about this. Yo, Hollywood won it twice. The second time, and he said, you know what? This is the kind of money I should have made when I was playing football. You know what I mean? Nowadays, everybody's making these millions. Back in the 70s and all that, he was not making that kind of money. So guess what he did? He gave all the people in his family that he liked $25,000. He said, "Don't you ask me for S again." And that's it. You run out, you run out. So that's some tips for whoever wins tonight, and I'm taking that advice myself because I'm planning on winning. He also said, don't spend more than $2 because the odds are astronomical. The more tickets you get, that does not increase your odds. So just know that. Don't say, oh, I'm going to get $100 worth tonight. No. $2 is all you need. The other $98 ain't going, it ain't helping you out one bit.
That's great advice for somebody not named Alec Medford, because I will not be winning that.
Participating?
I might get a $2 ticket.
Oh, don't block your blessing then.
I might try there. You can't win if you don't try.
Exactly.
Right? But, it's going to be hard to win for the Cowboys because they're without their number one weapon the last two games.
CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb has been shut down by the team. They announced Thursday as he has the AC joint sprain in his shoulder. He's had it since the November 3rd loss to the Falcons, and he's aggravated it pretty much every week. You can see him at some point visibly upset because of a way he gets taken down to the turf and needs a minute to kind of recuperate himself, but he's done for the rest of the season, mm-hmm. which you say that. It's only two games. But it's two division games starting this Sunday with the Philadelphia Eagles. If you forgot, that game has been flexed. It was the America's Game of the Week, but now it is going to be a noon kickoff right here on 105.3 The Fan. But that just takes away from any kind of intrigue that was left, because I mean, you even saw it in the last few games. He absolutely went off against some of these teams, bad shoulder and all. And I bet a team like the Buccaneers is so mad right now. Like,
oh yeah,
why did he play against us? Y'all shut him down after you harm our playoff chances. Why?
Because that's what competitors do. They don't give you anything. So props to CeeDee Lamb, because after the game, I was talking to him in the locker room, and he was talking about he's competitive, and he wanted to let his teammates know he's there for them, even though the shoulder, they said it can't get worse. It's just painful. And so the bottom line in this, it was getting a little bit worse, and they said, you know what, these last two games, we know what you can do. You're a dog, a D-A-W-G, or a D-O-double-G, you see, like Snoop. Put some respect on his name. CeeDee Lamb was doing these things without a training camp. He was doing these things while people were like wondering about his money. And, oh, how's he going to – he was doing this with a backup quarterback. Micah Parsons was talking in the locker room, and he said, CeeDee Lamb is the best player I've ever seen with my own two eyes. Mm. And he explained about being a dog and about how he's doing this with all kinds of quarterbacks. He said some of these wide receivers, their excuse is, well, I don't have my guy. I don't have the same stats because I'm working with a backup. He said CeeDee Lamb's got another 1,000 yards like clockwork. It doesn't matter who's throwing it to him. It doesn't matter if it's Dak. It doesn't matter if it's Cooper Rush. It doesn't matter if it's Andy Dalton. He's still getting 1,000 yards, and he's not just catching the ball. He's running the ball. He did punt returns when he first got here. So the bottom line is CeeDee Lamb is for real, and for those fans who were, you know, looking at him pouting on the sidelines, that was him being competitive. Tom Brady's doing the same damn thing, but guess what? Tom Brady's out was he had Super Bowl rings. But you saw the same footage on the sidelines, Tom Brady being mad. You want competitors, and you're glad you got CeeDee.
You are, and it sucks to hear, because he wanted to be out there in the worst way. But that was the team saying, look, we got to do the right thing here, and that's the point I'm making, is they did the absolute right thing. Even though it is the boring move, and it's like, well, you already got the backup quarterback. Now he's your fifth Pro Bowl player that is going to be on injured reserve.
Yep.
So that's a big hit. And that's a big hit to my interest in watching these two games and listening to these two games. I'm still going to, but man, I do want to ask Jerry what he thinks, because everybody keeps asking about it. Could we see more Jonathan Mingo, since he loved him so much in the draft?
Yeah, Will McClay loved him a whole lot.
And we'll have Jerry Jones at 10:30 right here on 105 through the Fan, so we can ask him then. The other big injury update that we got this morning in the Metroplex.
It happened late last night.
That everybody woke up to and was distraught pretty much immediately right off the wake-up. Luka Doncic is going to be out at least 1 month after suffering that calf strain on Christmas Day's loss to the Minnesota Timberwolves. He got the MRI yesterday. He has a history of injuries, as you mentioned yesterday, that left calf.
Yep.
So there was a lot there, and we kind of expected it off the jump. They're going to slow play this, make sure they do it the right way. They don't want to rush him back. And so he will be reevaluated in 1 month.
This is what's so great about this particular injury. They've dealt with it before. In other words, the trainers and the doctors with the Mavericks are familiar with it. So is Luka. With that being said, the other good part about it is it happened right now instead of in April or May, where you really, really need him. And the third thing that's great about it is this is not 2021, where it's Luka dominant ball. And if Luka doesn't play, the Mavericks don't win. Oh, my, what are they going to do? Clutch the pearls. No, this team's got depth. They are 6-2 when Luka doesn't play. It's really 6-1. The game against the Clippers a week ago Thursday, when it was Luka and Kyrie both out, I don't count that because both of them were out. You know what I'm saying? When Kyrie is in there, the defenses have to account for him, and they have gone 6-1 with Kyrie leading the charge. So with that being said, you got a team that's better able to handle a significant injury to whether it's Luka or Kyrie. Last year at this time, there's a lot of people do not remember. This year at this time in December, Kyrie missed about 20 games. People forget that. They're like, oh, yeah, what happened? Remember, he fell, and he fell on Dwight Powell's ankle. Or Dwight Powell fell on his ankle, excuse me. Dwight Powell got flipped up in the air, and he fell on Kyrie's ankle. It could have been worse, but it wasn't. But it still cost him most of December. And guess what? The Mavericks still went to the Western Conference Finals. I'm not saying they're going to do it again. I'm just saying this team is built even better than that to handle this kind of a loss.
So there you have it, the two big injury updates coming across in the last 24 hours for your favorite DFW superstars. It is the KNC.
Oh, by the way, the Mavericks are playing tonight against the Phoenix Suns, and Suns have already beaten them twice this year, just so you'll know, in Phoenix. Game time is at 8 o'clock.
It's the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Buffalo Wild Wings Left Bank in Fort Worth. And we're already packing this place in, so come and get your spot while there are still some open. 629 Staten Street. We've got four shirts, a jersey, four hats, two mini figures, two mini helmets, and three Salute to Service footballs to give away for you, including the Cowboys ticket giveaway. So coming up next here on 105.3 The Fan, we have some NFL overreaction or reality next on the KNC Masterpiece.
It's the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, and this segment is brought to you by Ciroc Vodka and Cars for Kids. Donate today at Cars for Kids, and it's also brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call Frankel first, 214 or 817-333-3333. With Frankel & Frankel, there is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankel & Frankel, the go-to for car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas.
Back here on 105.3 The Fan, it is the KNC Masterpiece. We are live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth's Left Bank. And you can hear it already. 629 Staten Street, come hang out with us. Take a load off, if you will. Right here at Buffalo Wild Wings, we are going to have a ton of fun here today, including talking with Jerry Jones here at 10:30, here in about 13 minutes. Going to ask him about CeeDee Lamb and maybe some hypotheticals of if he would still be playing if the Cowboys were still in the playoff hunt.
Good question.
Interested to see what he has to say there, but that is coming up here in just a little bit. Right now, let's do some NFL overreaction or reality. And, CA, I do want to start out with yesterday's teams involved in Thursday Night Football. An absolute barn burner of a game.
The ugliest game of the season.
That was not fun. I will say it was a lot more competitive than the box score said. I'll give it that. I thought that there was some really fun back and forth, but it didn't result in any points.
What was the final score again? 6-3?
6-3.
Yeah, it was a barn burner.
So, NFL overreaction or reality. If the Seahawks make the playoffs, because they would need to win against the Cardinals and they would need the Rams to lose, if they were to make the playoffs, nobody should be scared of the Seattle Seahawks in the playoffs.
That's a fact, Jack. I'm serious. This is a team that's, I'm not saying they're backing their way in, because sometimes teams start out strong and they start losing and they're like, okay, they're hanging on for dear life. No, this team is not serious. And I wish they were. Geno's a really good quarterback, but guess what? He hadn't been around all season. To me, they've been doing this with Band-Aids, you know, and glue and stuff like that. So no one should be afraid of them. This is not the team that nobody wants to play. Put it like this. If the Cincinnati Bengals were to somehow theoretically were to be in the playoffs, and they're not, that would be the team you'd be afraid of, not this team.
I'm not afraid. If I'm any, if I'm any NFC team that has to match up with them right now, they're just too inconsistent. Geno Smith even said in his post-game interview on Prime yesterday that the knee is still very much an issue for him. Mm-hmm. And he said, you just got to battle through it for the guys, you know. And, it, you know, he didn't even try to hide the fact that it's still definitely bothering him. You talk about some of the theatrics that are going on with DK Metcalf, too. It doesn't seem like he's super focused right now. Seems like he's thinking about some other things. And he's been dinged up, too. You saw him exit the game a couple times to kind of catch his breath, and looked like maybe a shoulder was bothering him or something. Some trainers were checking him out. So it's just not a healthy team overall. Kenneth Walker just went on injured reserve. They're starting running back, even though I think Charbonnet has been arguably better. But that's a conversation for another day. So I think that's reality. I do not think that you should be scared of the Seahawks in the playoffs.
The craziest thing, the most interesting thing about that game last night was in the game, you heard about this. Former Seattle coach Pete Carroll wanted to coach the Bears, and that's who was losing their 10th straight game. The Bears have lost 10 in a row. They need a new coach, and isn't he a year older than Belichick?
Yes, he's not getting any younger, and that segues right into the next question I have for you. NFL overreaction or reality? The Chicago Bears are more than just a head coach away.
Here's what's wild. I think they're not more than a head coach away because the NFL is such a parity league, and they've always had the talent, and they've had cap space for years. It's not like, well, we can't acquire anybody. They've always had a mismanaged coaching situation, and so much so that general manager and coach, so much so where the fans started yelling, sell the team, sell
awesome.
The team, all during the game. And they got a new stadium coming, too.
Yeah, so like it seems like there's a lot of good things that could propel towards maybe a little more buy-in by the fan base outside of the actual product that they're putting on the field. I mean, they've got the potential generational quarterback already on the roster. They've got some good skill position players, Keenan Allen, and so on and so forth. DeAndre Swift, I bashed that signing, but he's been playing pretty good for them. Like, it seems like they're making some of the right decisions. But what really got me was when they failed to take a timeout late in the game, and the crowd just started booing as the clock was running down.
Man.
They're on offense, not taking a timeout. I think it was like 40-something seconds left in the game, and they let it wind all the way down into the 30s and just snap the ball. And they had two timeouts in their back pocket, and the crowd starts booing
them. That's what happened with Eberflus.
Yeah, because they know, even the crowd in the stadium knows, you got two, use them, please.
Right. The crazy thing about it, the Bears were 4-2 to start the season. They've lost 10 straight. They're 4-12.
They're
crazy.
They are abysmal. NFL overreaction or reality, CA. The Las Vegas Raiders will regret losing out on their top two draft pick. With their win this past week, they have moved outside of the top two in the NFL draft order. And there's a lot of question marks on that roster, that one of them being quarterback. And there was a lot of, you know, noise surrounding Shedeur Sanders, reportedly, you know, infatuated with the idea of playing for the Vegas Raiders. So overreaction or reality, they're going to regret that.
I'm pausing because I have to look over their history of drafting. I don't know if they're a great drafting team. Some teams know how to draft, some teams don't. They screw it up some kind of way all the time.
So I could tell you Henry Ruggs.
It's almost like giving
give you a good idea.
Yeah, thank you. So I can give you an example. It's like giving somebody the lottery money tonight.
Sure.
And they just blow through it. I'm not even talking about $1 billion. I'm going to say you just won $2 million. There are people that do not know how to handle it. So give somebody a first round pick, a top five pick. They don't know how to handle it. I'm just saying. Pick the wrong guy. Taco Truff. Sorry.
Jeez.
Everybody knew it should have been TJ Watt.
This is true. And it's unfortunate. But, you know, revisionist history. It's always 2020.
The Cowboys, on the whole, though, do know how to draft. They're very good at drafting, on the whole.
NFL overreaction or reality. The Lions might end up being the number 5 seed. I got this from Ruben because the way that the top of the NFC is shaking out, you've been talking about it all week.
Yeah, the
this race between the Vikings and the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tie atop the NFC right now for that number 1 seed, but all it's going to take is a loss, and it's going to propel them in a way that they don't want to go.
All the way to 5?
It could happen.
How? Ruben's nodding his head, but do you know the details?
Because if they lose, they have a tie in record with the Vikings, right. And there's already...
So they become a wild card?
Because they already played each other.
Got it? So they're a wild card for sure. In other words, they're not one of the division winners.
Exactly. So they would fall to a wild card spot.
That's all it is to it. And again, that's what makes that game... And, you know, they're flexing all these games next weekend. Not this weekend, but the following weekend. We don't even know if the Cowboys are going to play Washington at AT&T Stadium on Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, we have
because
no clue.
Because the NFL's flexing everything. Because guess what? The game of the weekend, arguably the game of the last 2 months, if not the year, is Vikings-Detroit Lions. And I know the NFL is, like, rubbing their hands like, yes!
My eyes will be glued to the TV for that game because especially whenever your own team is out of it, like I find a lot of intrigue in some of those battles. Because the NFC, you talk about the parity league, talk about the parity conference. The NFC is the most unpredictable thing right now because I'll tell you right now, I can punch the ticket for the Kansas City Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl. Like that, I think that's inevitable at this point. But for the NFC, I could give you probably four teams that would make sense.
Yeah, it's wide open.
You can paint the path throughout the bracket for probably four different teams, and it's kind of wild. And I love it, but it's also a product of some overall mediocre football in the NFC. So it's a product of not great product, but at the same time, the top is definitely the cream of the crop of the NFL.
And injuries, too. I mean, look at Detroit. They're overcoming some of their injuries, but it's just a shame that that team is in full force where they could meet Kansas City Chiefs in a showdown in the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? That would be so if they were completely healthy. I think a completely healthy Detroit could stop the Kansas City three-peat. But they're not healthy, so I don't know.
It's a shout-out Friday here on the KNC Masterpiece, 877-881-1053. If you've got any shout-outs to get in today, we will get those out in the world for you. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth's Left Bank, 629 Satan Street. Come take a load off with us. And coming up next on the home of the Dallas Cowboys, we talk with the Cowboys owner and general manager, Jerry Jones, right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's your home of the Dallas Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Alec Medford and the three-time Hall of Famer, Chris Arnold.
Got you down.
We're with you live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth's Left Bank, 629 Staten Street. Come hang out with us and come get all of your entries for some of our Cowboys merchandise giveaways. But right now, brought to you by Ford and the North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We welcome in Dallas Cowboys owner and general manager, Jerry Jones. Good morning and belated Merry Christmas, sir. How's it going?
Hey, Jerry.
Going great. And Chris, both of you, Merry Christmas. But Chris, it's great to be on with you, man.
It's been a while.
So far back, and I can just think of all the good times that we've spent enjoying these last 30-something years. So good to be on with you, Chris. And
you too.
And both of you.
Oh, yeah, and Jerry, hadn't talked to you since the pandemic on the radio, but again, it's great talking to you. We got some stories to tell, on and off the air.
Woo-wee! It's good.
There we go. He does it unlike any others. Jerry, I do have to start off, though, with the announcement that we got from the team yesterday. CeeDee Lamb is going to be shut down for the last two games of the season. Can you tell us a little bit about what went into that decision?
Well, he's been playing hurt for at least the last couple of ball games, and everybody knew that he was we're fighting through the pain, and it's a separation that more damage up there would require surgery, and we don't want him. He didn't want to have surgery. And it's very, very healable without the surgery at this level. But if it kept getting injured, which it was continuing to be injured almost every play, then you would have had to have surgery. Surgery could go over into next year, as we well know, and impact next year. Now, the point is that had we been playing for the Marbles and been playing for the playoffs, then you couldn't have kept him out of there. But it is the right decision for best interest of the team really now and in the future. So it was a decision he made and would always make that. The player ultimately makes the decision. But we know from what he's done the last four or five games that he was going to go until he just couldn't go anymore. But this is the right thing to do.
So just to clarify there, if the team was still in the playoff hunt, you do think that CeeDee Lamb would have still been active?
Yeah, I think he would have. We might not have played him if now, if we had that playoff wrapped up, you'd be resting him and should have, because he frankly was very, very limited, and he needed to diminish the hits that he was taking on that shoulder, because apparently every time that he had a game, he was making the damage worse. And so the way to handle that is, of course, to surgery. We didn't want that.
Jerry, I was in the locker room after the game, and all the players were talking about, you know, how competitive they've been and, you know, this season full of all of this adversity. And I think a lot of people weren't expecting the adversity, the injuries, the slow start to the season, the entire the way the thing was going. But Micah and CD in particular were talking about they learned some things from this. And I'm looking at the bigger picture, and I want to get your opinion on this. I'm looking at the bigger picture of around the league, you see teams going through adversity, but they have maybe some infighting in the locker room or finger pointing or just some discord or turmoil going on in the different organizations. And it seems like, surprisingly for a lot of people, the Cowboys seem to be on the same page with each other and the coaching staff. Can you talk about what that has meant on, you know, if you had to find something bright on this season?
Yeah, well, first of all, any team, any season, you look for it when you don't have the players pushing and pulling in the same direction. This team unquestionably is well fixed relative to everybody's got the same thing in mind and how to do it in mind. You got to give Mike McCarthy huge amounts of credit for establishing that, creating a forum for that to happen. But then you got to give your player leadership a huge pat on the back as well. And that's where it comes in. And obviously for CD, who's obviously a leader in the clubhouse, he has that skill. He has had that kind of season. But then for him to be showing the way with the way he was playing through that injury, that's the ultimate in leadership. And that was happening, and that was helping the dynamic you're talking about. We've got that. Dak Prescott, if there's a player, or has there been a player, that can lead when he's not playing, Dak is one of them that can. He's a leader of men. And, boy, he's the original Pied Piper. So the point is they follow his leads. He's very involved around the team, considering the fact he's not playing. All of that gives us a lot to look forward to as far as that leadership factor going forward.
Jerry, I've been knowing you since you got here back in 1989, and you have always been a wildcatter. You've been never afraid to take a chance or a risk that's calculated because you know you can do it again. And I've wondered how over the years, you know, like you traded for Charles Haley, you brought in T.O., you made Deion Sanders, brought in Deion Sanders, you made all these different moves, and then this offseason, it was kind of quiet. And I was wondering about, is there a strategy to that, or is there a different way the Cowboys are going to approach things in the offseason? Because you normally make a splash, like a splash play.
Yeah, well, the thing that might not have been apparent or as attention-getting as the splashes was the fact that since I walked through the door, you had to also be doing the thing within the rules or within the parameters of what you can afford. You have to. I always have had to. And I've gone beyond the logic so many times in terms of the financial end. Well, the cap, the financial cap, is not a financial thing with me at all. It is a part of the rules. It's like you can't have guys off the line before the play is snapped. And so it is a real determining thing. I'm talking about the cap. and the very determining thing on winning and losing. And so there's no question that if you look, Mike McCarthy said when he got here that this was the best talent he had ever coached, talking about our talent when he got here. And number one. Number two, if you look at, let's just take Dak. If you look at his career, he's been surrounded by some of the best talent there is in the NFL. And that's in the offensive line. That's, frankly, I'd say across the board. A lot of people might take issue with that, but it's been top all the way through. That comes at a price. You have to have had to pay outside your cap. And you can do that in the NFL. It's like paying on the credit card. And then you have to pay up in ensuing years. So we have to not only have the dollars that to go forward to basically fit these players on the cap, but we have to also be paying for a lot of things we've paid for in the past. We're not the only team that's ever done that, and there's been teams do it and win more than we're winning right now. We've got to do that. And that's the way it is where we are, and that's the way it was going into this year. All in, frankly, was all in signing for the future Dak Prescott. That's all in, brother. That's the highest paid player in the NFL, and I'm glad we got him. All in was signing Lamb. When I talked about Lamb and I wasn't that concerned about him not being there, I knew that he and Dak had played their together in the offseason and really had were well coordinated. But I didn't need to see Lamb out there in preseason games and having those kinds of issues. Well, I mean, have needed to play well. Well, he's played well, played really well. And so we didn't pay any price for Lamb's ability or our ability working with Lamb not being there during the time that we were negotiating his contract. So if I sound defensive, I guess I am there because that's all in stuff, Lamb. And that's all in stuff, Dak. And the reason that we got that is because we had to take away other places to be able to get those. We'll do that next year, and we'll do that as we go forward. We've got the basis of having a team that I think can contend, but it's just the plow you're dealing with. So, yeah, I'll take a risk with the best of them. As a matter of fact, I've taken a bigger risk than Lamar Hunt stood up in an NFL meeting 20 years ago and said the biggest risk he'd ever seen in sports was when I bought the Dallas Cowboys, and he was very familiar with it because he knew what the situation was. So, yeah, you got to have you have to take risks, by the way. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come just by sitting there with formulas and sitting there with ratios and sitting there with certain types of studies. It doesn't come that way because the player is not wired that way. You go in a classroom today, you try to find the people that are going to be, say, who are going to be the most successful financially. You can't find them. You couldn't pick that person out in a classroom. As a matter of fact, he may not even be in the classroom. He may have dropped out, the one that's going to be there financially. So I'm giving you a long answer, always do. But frankly, I think that's where we are, and I'll take a chance, and you'll see it. I'll never forget when I signed Deion. I had to go back home. I went back over to Little Rock where I was raised because Deion's check, $12 million, was as much as I had put up cash a few years earlier to buy the team at that time, that much cash. And basically I went back over there to see if I'd lost my bearing, lost my base because I was going to give him that much cash up front, Deion Sanders, to come here. That's still here, Chris. It's not over seeing doing those kinds of things. I went over there and walked around the neighborhood, saw trees that I'd knocked the bark off on when I was a kid. Then I looked down and said, well, I remember when a nickel was, quarter was everything. And then by golly, I looked at that, and I looked at that old house I lived in. I said, that was then. This is now. I'm going for it. That's exactly the way I am today about the Dallas Cowboys.
All right.
Jerry Jones joining us here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. With CeeDee Lamb's absence the last two games of the season, what would you like to see from a couple of guys like Jalen Tolbert, who's had an up-and-down season, and your trade deadline acquisition, Jonathan Mingo? What could you see from a couple of those guys?
Well, I think this gives him a great play as well. Mingo certainly will get opportunities out there. We're excited about him. We're excited about his future here. So that's what happens. These guys get a chance. I don't mind telling you, I'm really excited about the way Rush is playing. Mm-hmm. If Rush has really gotten better, it just shows you, you give somebody a chance to play and stay with them, they will get better in the NFL.
Jerry, is this a season where they can build off of? I bring this up because that's what Micah Parsons was adamant about in the locker room. He was saying, through all this adversity and what you did right and what you did wrong, and by the way, he's all in on Mike Zimmer. He loves Mike Zimmer. Can you talk about how that could carry over? Is that what you're expecting? And also, you guys have to make some decisions on who you want to keep around. Who are the dogs and who are the guys that are just out there?
Well, I think it's easy for me to see why they're buying into Mike Zimmer. And by the way, that took some buying into.
Yep.
They just technically how to do it the way that Zimmer was trying to coach it. It's one of the issues in the NFL. Certain player types fit certain scheme types. And so when you start changing what you're asking the player to do, you could get a little compromised on why you had that player to begin with. That has to do with size, that has to do with length in the size, or it can have to do with just something. Are they a good tackler in the secondary, and is that their biggest skill? Are they a lot of coverage and a little drag them down? What you got here? All of that comes in to the picture. So, yes, I'm very rewarded when I see the team get better and better each game, and even with the compromising of the injuries, and we're getting better and better, like you said, Chris, with some younger and younger players. That's great stuff there, because that allows you to work the cap better, and that allows you to frankly have a little better feeling about availability, because obviously the older you get in a career, the compromising place, one of them is availability. You get hurt more.
Jerry, you mentioned availability, and it's been sparse across the offensive line this season. And you've got some decisions to make with some of those guys, you know, with Zach Martin going down and, you know, at probably the back end of his career, to put it politely. What have you seen from some of those guys like Tyler Guyton, your first-round pick, Cooper Beebe, and what do you want to see from them going forward, since they're going to be your anchor pieces moving forward?
Well, I probably got a little out over my skis thinking that just plug those guys in, Guyton, I know better than that, and BB, they're rookies, and they've had the acclimation period for rookies. But really, they've done well. And when you add a couple of rookies to a five-man crew, and then all of the nuances of coming from college to the NFL, that can compromise you. And we did, and it has to do with a lot of the mental. It's not just physical, but it's mental. And it has to do with being sure of yourself. And a lot of times you get those pre-snap penalties, that movement. Or you've got to have discipline when that ball breaks outside. The back takes it outside, and you thought he might be coming inside. You got to watch that holding out there that's going to get called. Having said all of that, they have paid the price, and we've paid some price to some degree. Now, we're blocking it up a little differently, and that's good than we did when we started. And that's good stuff, too. And that's just an evolving process that has to do with, frankly, the fact we're playing the younger guys. We're putting a little different fronts out there that we're getting to take advantage of, because Rush is so good at pre-snap work. And so we're getting into run situations with a better front to run it than we were early when we had Dak. All of that's encouraging to see how we're doing that and the success we're having with it.
Hey, Jerry, before we let you get out of here, Cowboys taking on Philadelphia. It's a division rival. People in Philadelphia, they got their thoughts about the Cowboys. Cowboy fans have their thoughts about the Eagles. What's going to be the mentality for these guys? Is it going to be revenge, spoiler? What do you think McCarthy's going to tell these guys to try to do what they can to stop those Eagles?
Well, I think that you get it the minute you go out to warm up as a player in Philadelphia, and that is the pride that they have, and are they proud of those Eagles? And rightfully should be. I'm not for sure the status of the quarterback at this point. I'm not. And so, but I do know this, that it would be a big win for us. And our guys do know that. And that's where we are. And to go up there and come out of there with a win, I'll never forget the first year, Chris, that we were involved and we hadn't won a game, and we go to Washington, and they were undefeated,
yep.
Washington Redskins, and they ended up winning the Super Bowl. And they had a really outstanding team. And we won that game. And it was a cornerstone, if you will, has been, and here I'm talking about it 35 years later. And that's the only game we won. Yet that game showed that it can happen to you. You can take on a team, may I say, better or more accomplished, and win. You can do that in this NFL. And that would be very constructive to the Cowboys to go up there and beat this Philadelphia team at home.
Hey, Jared, last week you started talking about some squirrel brains that you used to eat when you were growing up. And I remember back in the day you used to have a Tuesday luncheon, and you served up some food to the media. It was some calf fries, and people didn't know what that was. Can you talk about what instigated that and tell those who don't know what calf fries are what they are?
Well, you and I both know what they are, so you've set me up for this. That's the male. That's the male organ of the
the bull.
They're a little bull until you take those away from them, and then they're a steer.
Yep.
And that's what you have. They're a staple of, I can remember, politicians, people having big calf fry. Banquets to during political times, and grew up around that. And then, of course, there's turkey fries. Same thing. Turkey fries, and that is something that I've hunted 15, 20 people every morning. I've done that for 30-something years, 40 years, really. And one of the staple are turkey fries, and they're really very popular. So
you know what, Jerry? Yeah, Jerry,
all that
stuff say.
Is pretty good. But what that is that separates the. When you separate all that, you don't have a gobbler anymore. You don't have a bull. You got a steer.
Yep. I just remember you didn't tell anybody what it was till they got through eating them.
Well. This too much information has ruined a lot of good things in life.
Jerry, you have a happy new year if I don't talk to you before then.
Fair quote.
Oh, man. Thank you so much for the time,
good
Jerry.
Stuff.
Glad that the team still has their fries.
Mm-hmm.
And there he goes, Jerry Jones, right here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan.
Too much info. You should have seen the look on his face when he told everybody what the calf fries were.
That is amazing.
Some of those writers started about the thrill.
I mean, hey, what's the problem? If they didn't know and they enjoyed it, that shouldn't change anything, right?
Right, yeah, theoretically. Yeah.
Like Jerry said, too much information can ruin a lot of good things. That's an all-timer right there. Mm. Good job getting that one out of him. So there you go, Jerry Jones, brought to you by the North Texas Ford Dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Got a little bit of information out of there. I was kind of happy to hear him say that he got out in front of his skates on the rookie offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Because we've been saying
Tyler Smith, they got thought he'd be like Tyler Smith right out the gate.
Exactly. And that one was just an ace by Will McClay and his staff. Yeah. But, you know, you don't get those every time. And he said, look, they're rookies. We shouldn't have expected as much. CeeDee Lamb, it sounds like he would have tried to keep going if they were still in the playoff hunt. And he said they would have rested him instead of putting him on injured reserve if they had a playoff spot locked in. So interesting stuff there. And, of course, wrapped it up in the only way that Jerry Jones can with audio gold.
Calf rise.
It's the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. We are at Buffalo Wild Wings, Fort Worth Left Bank. Come get your spot. Come take a load off with us. 629 Staten Street out here in Fort Worth. And if you don't know where that is, it is right over by 7th Street. You'll find it pretty quickly. Montgomery Plaza as well. Coming up next here on 105.3 The Fan, let's talk to our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo, right here on the KNC Masterpiece.